ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
This morning, if you would, please turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 18. And again, we've been going slowly through this book. It's an amazing book on victorious Christian living. There are so many lessons in here. And over the last few weeks, we've been looking at some dangers that are out there that we need to pay attention to, that we need to guard against so we don't go down that path. And we look at the danger of not obeying all that the Lord had told the children of Israel. And what they ended up doing was allowing the enemy to remain in the land. They didn't drive them out completely. There were still these pockets of resistance within the land. And yeah, it wasn't a huge number. But it doesn't take a lot to influence a person, and that's what we see here with the children of Israel. These pockets of resistance that they didn't drive out ended up being a thorn in their side, an irritant to them, and in the end, it brought them into captivity. In fact, you know, Paul even warned us of this very thing, that you can't co-mix with the enemy and not have them influence your life. In 2 Corinthians 6, Paul said, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Baal? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, 'I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people.' Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." Unequally yoked. You don't want, if you have two animals that are unequal, yoked together, you're not going to be able to plow your fields very well. And the idea here is if you're yoked to unbelievers, I guarantee you they're going to be pulling you down the wrong path. I'm not saying we can't talk with unbelievers. What I'm saying is we can't have that intimate fellowship with them, because you know what? When we start going astray, you know who we're going to talk to? We're going to talk with unbelievers, because they're going to tell us what we want to hear. We're not going to talk with our Christian brothers and sisters, because they're going to tell us what we don't want to hear. And there's the danger. And the children of Israel, they didn't listen to the Lord. They did not fully obey the Lord, even though he warned them of this danger, and it affected their lives and not in a good way. Well, then we looked at the danger of complaining, and we saw how easy it is to lose focus and complain about this and complain about that. We could think too highly of ourselves and lose, again, our focus of the Lord and what he wants to do. And we've talked about this many times. We're going to face difficult times in our lives. That's not the issue. It's just the reality. The issue is this. Are we going to complain about these things, or are we going to serve the Lord with gladness? Because the choice truly is ours, and we need to rejoice in the Lord always and let people see the joy that God has brought into our lives. Well, this morning, we're going to be looking at the third danger that we find here in Joshua, and that is this, the danger of complacency. And I'll share this with you, and you'll see that complacency is a dangerous place for a Christian to be. This is what we're told. One of the greatest dangers in the Christian life is complacency. Contentment in Christ is to be sought after and celebrated. Complacency in Christ, however, is very different. Christian contentment means that no matter what happens, you are fully satisfied in Jesus. Christian complacency means that no matter what happens, you are fully self-satisfied with your current personal effort in pursuing Christ. Webster's definition of the word complacency is a feeling of being satisfied with how things are and not wanting to try to make them better. Self-satisfaction, especially when accompanied by unawareness of actual dangers or deficiencies. This sounds like a very dangerous place to be if you're a Christian. The Bible makes it clear that Christians are never standing still. They are either growing or backsliding. After listing some of the qualities every believer should have, Peter then states, For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, if you are a Christian who is complacent with your growth in God, you are in danger. And that's what we're going to be looking at this morning, not to put us down, but to make us aware of the dangers that are out there. And I think that's what the Lord is showing us this morning as we look at Joshua chapter 18. And like we've done with some of the previous chapters with the division of the land, we kind of did an overview of how the land was divided. And then within that, there's some specific verses that I would like to focus on. And I've kind of broken them down like this, and these are in your bulletins as well. The first one is in Joshua 18:1, and it deals with settling down. In Joshua 18:2, complacency. In Joshua 18, verses 3 through 7, go forward. And then in verses 8 through 9 of Joshua 18, obedience. And then in Joshua 18:10, the blessing. So with that as our introduction, we're going to pick up in Joshua chapter 18, but we're going to look at verse 11 as the division of the land is being divided up to Benjamin. And we're just going to read a little bit and then do the overview of this very quickly here. In verse 11, we're told, "Now the lot of the tribe of the children of Benjamin came up according to their families, and the territory of their lot came out between the children of Judah and the children of Joseph." And you could read on. This is how the land was divided out all the way through verse 28. And they were a very small tribe, Benjamin, and occupied an area of land between Judah and Ephraim, south to north, and from the Jordan River westward, about halfway to the Mediterranean Sea. And they were small in number, but these guys were fierce warriors. They were very good warriors. What I want to focus on, though, and like I said already, is those first 10 verses here in Joshua chapter 18, because I think the Lord has these lessons for us to learn from. So this first point we're going to look at in Joshua 18:1 is settling down. And we're told this, "Then the whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh and set up the tabernacle of meeting there, and the land was subdued before them." Shiloh was located in the area of Ephraim and became the center of worship for the nation of Israel. Until the time of David, he moved the ark to Jerusalem. And it was about 20 miles from Gilgal. If you remember, Gilgal was their base camp those 7 years when they were going out and defeating the enemies. And now all they're doing is the individual tribes were driving out these pockets of resistance within their own land, their own territory. So Shiloh is the center of their worship now. And you read that and it sounds great, right? I mean, what's wrong with it? They're in the land of Canaan. They have subdued the enemy. Things are going well. They set up the tabernacle to worship God by. But there's a problem here. This whole idea of settling down. And I realize for many, this idea of settling down, that's a good thing. We're just settling down. We're just taking it easy. Time to kick back. Things are going well. What do we need to do? And I think it's a dangerous place to be. And I'll give you an example in marriage. We look at settling down in marriage. Hey, good, we're just settling down, but I don't think so. And I'm not saying, you know, marriage is wrong, but settling down to me is doing the same thing day in and day out, day in and day out. There's no moving forward in the marriage. Different day, but just like yesterday, you haven't moved forward. Again, I think it's dangerous because you could become stagnant. For my wife and I, you know, my schedule is pretty busy. Her schedule is pretty busy. But we try once a week on a Friday. Friday's my day off to have date day. And I'm ruining it for you guys. Sorry. But we have a date day where we just go out. We go to lunch. We'll go to a movie. We'll go driving somewhere. We'll go up to Al Johnson's to see the goats on the roof and have their Swedish pancakes. We'll do something just to get away because it's important. You need to do things together. You need to have that relationship grow, or again, it becomes stronger, or it becomes weaker. You want it to grow stronger. And think about it. Our marriages, yes, that's important. What about our jobs, other relationships? Yeah, you got to keep moving forward, or you know, you find yourself in difficulty. You have to grow in the Lord. And our relationship with him should be no different. It should be far deeper and richer than it was a year ago, 5 years ago, and so on. Because here's the thing, if you're not moving forward, if you're just stagnant, if you're just settling down and not going anywhere, you're going to go backward. There's no challenge. Look at verse 2 and you'll see what I mean. But there remained among the children of Israel 7 tribes which had not yet received their inheritance. Isn't that interesting? Everything was great. We're worshiping God. We set up the tabernacle. We're settling down. Oh, but there remained among the children of Israel 7 tribes which had not yet received their inheritance. They didn't take what God had promised them, what had given them. They were willing to remain, I guess, kind of like nomads as they were in the wilderness. What happened? Why did they become stagnant and not take the land that God had given them? That is really the danger of complacency. And that's the problem, what we see here. I'll give you an example, and then we'll look at some reasons for growing comfortable or becoming complacent in our walk with the Lord. Think about it. Here's someone, picture in your mind, someone who's been going to church for a number of years. Same church, doing the same thing, or maybe not even doing anything right now. It becomes a routine. It's Sunday morning, I'm getting up, I'm going to church. It's Thursday evening, I'm going to church, whatever. What happens is you're walking the same path over and over and over and over again as you develop a rut. And you know, if you keep walking it, the rut gets deeper and deeper. And before you know it, it's just a grave. You're not getting out of it. It's empty. It's dead. There's nothing happening. And I think with our relationship with God, it should be always fresh. It should always be new. Lord, here we are, a new day. What do you have for me? You know, you would think that, you know, when I share these studies with you, that I'm just going over material that I already know, which is true. Hopefully I do know it. But I always wonder, Lord, what are you going to show me as I teach this morning? Because there's something in here. You know, he's speaking to me. He's not just speaking to you. And I get excited to see how he's going to speak to me. And I think we need to be aware of these things. You know, what are some of these reasons now we become complacent? Some of the reasons we're not moving forward. And I think one of the big ones is we're comfortable. I remember right before the Lord moved us up here to Wisconsin. It's kind of funny. I don't talk like this anymore and say, Lord, we're really comfortable here. We like it. I don't do that anymore. Because that's what Julie and I had just gotten done, saying, oh, man, we love our home here in Illinois. It's just perfect. We got a great backyard, great neighbors. We have a lot of fun. You know, our neighbor across the way, she's like 80-some years old and shoots our kids with squirt guns. We love that. You know, it's just fun. We love our church. It's wonderful. We're serving in it. We love our pastor. I love my job. I'm working in the open heart unit. You know, it's so great. We love everything. And it wasn't like a week or two later that Julie goes to this conference and the Lord's moving us to Wisconsin now. Yeah, you don't want to stay comfortable. You want to see where God's going to move you. You want to be open at least to it. Here the children of Israel, they're in the land. They defeated the major enemies that were in the land of Canaan. There were still these pockets of resistance, but the land was theirs for the most part. They were comfortable. Even though they didn't take possession of all that God had for them, these 7 tribes didn't. And they were stagnant, and they didn't move forward. And we can get that way in our lives through many things, not only our relationship with the Lord, but lots of things. You know, think about athletes. Athletes have this great season, right? They're unbelievable, and they get this huge contract. And then the next year, what? A lot of times they're just resting on their past achievements. They don't press on, and in the end, they're not as good as they were the previous season. I look at a man, you know, like Walter Payton. Walter Payton was a guy who was a great, great running back, but he didn't stop there. This guy worked hard off season, during the season. He worked very hard because he wanted to be better. He didn't want to be complacent. He wanted to go forward. Let's apply that now to our relationship with the Lord. Are we comfortable with the Lord? Are we stagnant in our walk with him? You see, we have to be careful. There was a concert pianist who said this. He said, look, if I stop practicing the piano the first day, there won't be any difference in my playing. The second day, there'll be a slight difference, and by the third day, it will become noticeably different. Every day, we should be walking with the Lord. Remember the children of Israel and the manna, the food, the bread from heaven that God gave them? He said, look, every day go out and grab some manna, just what you need. You can't take any for tomorrow because it's going to rot. You just take what you need for today. I think the picture of the Lord was saying to us, look, you need to be in my word. You need to hear from me every day. You can't say, well, I'm going to read two, you know, three, four chapters today and it'll cover me for 3 days. That's not how it works. Even if you read a couple verses, don't you think the Holy Spirit's going to speak to you? Absolutely. I do. We need to spend time with him. We need to be open to what he's showing us and take those steps of faith. So important. Sometimes it's just this complacency is just self-satisfaction. We're satisfied with where we're at. We don't have to press on. We don't have to move forward. Again, very dangerous to our spiritual health. One person wrote this. He said, one of the greatest threats to our growth as Christians is the notion that we have arrived at a pretty good place and no longer need to develop our Christian walk and become more like Jesus. Now, think about it. I mean, think about being in the military. I just want to be a pretty good soldier. I'm telling you, man, if I'm drafted and I wasn't, thank God, I respect the men and women who have fought for our country, those that have given their lives. I mean, they were put on the front lines. I respect that. But if I'm in the military and I'm going to be put in battle, I want to be the best, okay? I don't want to be second best. I want to be the best. Well, same with our relationship with God. He goes on, if the Apostle Paul did not feel like he had reached the peak but still needed to improve, there are certainly areas where we still need to work as well. Yeah, if Paul didn't, why do we think we've reached it? People who are greatly accomplished in any field, athletes, musicians, or speakers, often make what they do look simple, yet it is anything but. Tiger Woods or these baseball players or these football players. Now, how many golf balls did Tiger Woods hit? Are these golf pros? I mean, we think they go out there and they're just playing a game. Well, it is a game, but they're hitting thousands and thousands of golf balls so they can get better. Batters are swinging thousands and thousands of times to get their swing down. Receivers are trying to catch the ball thousands and thousands of times so they get the timing down, and so on. If they thought they reached the highest potential, they wouldn't practice anymore, right? I think the same is true in our spiritual growth. Everything that we have and everything that we accomplish, guys, is a gift from God. And we can't brag about it, but we can't be self-satisfied with our spiritual life. That's a danger, Will Robinson, you know, danger, right? We need to be careful. And remember, again, this is what Paul said, not that I've already attained. Or I'm already perfected. I press on. I like that. Pressing on, going forward, striving. He says that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to apprehend it, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Pressing on speaks of growing. It speaks of moving forward. That's what we need to do in our Christian lives. Don't give up. Don't keep going forward. Now, here's another problem with complacency. It can come from discouragement. Oh, the work's overwhelming. I don't know how we're going to do it. I'm never going to get out of this mess. What's going on? Discouragement sets in and we give up. Several weeks ago, I was running in a race at night. It was on a cross-country ski trail, and it was fun. You know, they had lights on the trails, and it was a lot of fun to run. But up and down hills, you know, some of the hills were pretty intense. In fact, I was going down this one hill. I was like, oh, Lord, please don't let me fall on my face. I didn't think my legs could keep up with how fast I was going. It was pretty scary. But then you go down. You know what you have to do after you go down? Well, then you have to go up. Right, and there's roots everywhere. You have to watch. You know, I tripped. You know how I'm not real clumsy. Well, yeah, I guess I am clumsy. So I'm trying to, you know, not trip over these tree roots all over the place. I was paying attention, and I thought I was doing pretty good. And then I looked at my watch and I looked at my time. I'm like, oh my gosh, what is wrong with me? I'm like a sluggard here. I'm not even moving. And I crossed the finish line and man, talk about discouraged. My time was 4 minutes slower than usual. 4 minutes. It was only a 3 mile race. That's a lot of time. So I cooled down, not very happy. Went back to the car and I said, Julie, you know what? Let's just head home. I mean, my time is so slow. There's no way I'm even getting anything for this race, you know. I'll get my participation trophy or whatever, but that's about it. I was really discouraged. And you know how the Lord knows that he's what we need and he needs to teach us a lesson? And that's exactly what he did. We get back to the hotel room. And all of a sudden I get this text message, you finished in second place. Second? How could that be? No way. It was exactly what I needed to hear. Discouragement caused me to drop out. It taught basically just to leave. And don't we think as we serve the Lord, don't we feel like that at times? No, nothing's happening. What's the point? Why should I go on? I mean, there's no point to it. And then the Lord sends you a text or whatever, you know what I mean? You know, you read his word and he gives you something that just ministers to your heart. And you go, oh, you know, thank you, Lord, I needed that. Because discouragement causes you just to drop out and do nothing. And that's where the devil likes us. And what ends up happening is we get discouraged and we start dropping out is, you know, we don't fellowship with the brethren. We don't, you know, spend time with the Lord. And the cure is simple, you know, get back into fellowship with the brethren, get back into his word, get back into ministering to others, turn on praise and worship music. Why? Because as you're helping others, you're not focused on yourself. I mean, if we spent all our time focused on all the things that have happened in our lives, we'd all be depressed, right? We don't do that. We're called to serve, and I think service helps us focus back on the Lord and others. And the Lord takes care of us. Also, praise and worship music takes our focus off ourselves, places it back on the Lord where it needs to be. Getting refocused, so important. So that discouragement, man, it can be bad. Also, complacency can be a result of disinterest. Losing interest in the things of God is very dangerous. One person, and listen to this letter, it broke my heart when I read this. This person wrote this. He said, I've been a Christian all my life. I've done voluntary missionary work, served in my church, and prayed most of my life. The last couple of years, I've been slowly questioning everything and finding answers that helped, but spiritually, I feel lost. I can't even be bothered to read the Bible. I have zero interest now. I can't be bothered to pray, as I feel like it does nothing. If someone asks me about miracles and prayer, I just feel like it's a placebo effect. Attending church is getting boring, too. I've been depressed and had a lot of anxiety the past few years, and I'm over that too. Lifestyle choices such as exercise and clean eating never really helped all my doubt and anxiety either. I just can't be bothered. Many people have told me to read the Bible more, pray more, you need more faith, yada, 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 yada. I've tried all that. I've screamed to God, I've looked for answers. Now I'm here just so tired of it. And everything spiritual, I doubt and attribute it to something like the complexity of the human mind. I really wish I was interested and felt the presence of God like I used to think I could. Or maybe that was my emotions all along. I'm tired and I can't be bothered anymore. I still feel that I believe in Christ, but I can't be bothered to continue with acting on my faith to grow it. Either way, my life seems like it doesn't improve with or without it. I know the Christian faith isn't all rainbows and happiness. I understand there's doubts and all that. But me, I'm over it, and I don't know where to go now. As I said before, I believe Christ, but what's the point if I don't have the passion or even care to push and grow my faith? I still have a heart for helping the underprivileged, and people will say, look, God put that on your heart. But even non-believers have passion for that too. Anyways, that's all. Just getting this off my chest, and I don't even know what answers and advice I'm looking for now. I feel like I've heard it all. My heart broke for this person. The replies, the answering his questions, were even sadder. One person wrote, you know, you should just try other religions. You move away from the true and living God and go after false gods, you go after demons, that's the solution? That's what you're telling this person? And here's the thing, and we're emotional people. let's face it. But if you go by feelings or emotions, you can be deceived. The answer is simple, whether he agrees with it or not. It's found in Revelation, actually, chapter 2, in the letter that Jesus wrote to the church in Ephesus. It's a letter that the title really is, They Left Their First Love. And Jesus gives them the answer to their problem. This is what he said in Revelation 2, verses 4 and 5, as Jesus wrote to this church that, make no mistake about it, was very busy serving. They were doing this, they were doing that. They were even exposing false doctrine.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers. Breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word? Come and join together in the presence of God.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.